Well, good morning to all of you, and as we just heard in that song, as we were giving to the Lord as well, we're called by Him to come to His arms, to come to His life that He's given to us, and certainly the one way He calls to us, maybe the most powerful way, is through His Word. So let's spend some time together in the Word of the Lord this morning. Invite you, as maybe you already are, turning to the book of Jeremiah, and the first chapter of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10, is the word that we're going to be considering this morning. This season of Easter, we've been thinking a lot about what it is to live resurrected lives, to live into the new life we've been given by Jesus Christ. And over the last few weeks, we've talked specifically about perhaps what that calling might look like in our lives collectively, in our lives as individuals. What is it that God's calling us to? How is He leading us in our lives? And hopefully, we've been thinking and seeing some of the very even practical ways that God might be leading us to follow Him and be about His mission in our life as His children. This morning, we'll keep thinking a little bit about that, those specific callings, but really want us to hear this morning God's word to us, a word that would encourage us and remind us of where we could find the strength to live the way we've been talking about these last several weeks, how we can have the strength to live a life on mission with Him. As we're thinking about that this morning and why we need His Word and His presence with us, I just want to think about the space that God often comes to meet us in. I'm going to put a picture up here, and probably a place that a lot of us have spent some time in over the years. You've been in airport terminals before. As you're picturing an airport terminal and thinking about times you've spent there, how would you maybe describe the feeling of a space like that? Would you say it's very serene, kind of calm? Everybody's kind of laid back, just taking it easy? Right, I hear you chuckling because that's definitely not it, right? If you've been in an airport terminal before, you know it's very tense kind of space. Everybody's kind of uptight. People are standing up to get in line well before even the plane's going to be boarded, right? We're all just kind of anxious in that space. And you might wonder, well, why is that? Why are we so anxious there? Well, we know that this is kind of an in-between space. It's a transition kind of space. You're leaving one place, you're going to another, but in the terminal, you're in between. You've left and gotten to the airport, but you're not on the airplane yet. You're just in between. And those spaces just naturally make us anxious, have some doubts, have some fears, whatever it might be. You might wonder why, you know, sometimes if you go in a stairwell and walking up the stairs, you're getting an elevator by yourself, why do I feel a little more anxious? It's for the same type of reason. These in-between transition spaces have that kind of effect on us. And of course, it's not just physical spaces that do that to us. There are places in life that are transitional, that we find ourselves in between, and those have the same kind of effect on us. I mean, you've heard of a midlife crisis before, right? Some of us might be in the midst of them. I don't know. But that's the same kind of space, this transition, this in between. Think of our graduates this morning as we're celebrating our graduates. There's a reason why typically this brings some anxiety. We finished one stage of life. Maybe it's high school and we're going on to college or to work. It's an in-between kind of stage. And maybe you're at a stage where you're coming up on retirement. You've been working for so many years and now you're going to retire. What is that going to look like? You're in this in-between kind of space. There's all kinds of things, a relationship beginning, one ending, all kinds of spaces we face in life that are just like this airport terminal that make us kind of anxious. I truly think that really all of us are in this kind of space all the time, whether we realize it or not. Like especially the last probably 4 or 5 years, we're really culturally in a transition kind of space. We've gone through this pandemic, and we know things are different than they were 5 years ago, but what's it going to look like going forward? And we wonder, and it can make us a bit anxious. And surely as God's people too, we know we're on this journey, that this earth is not our home, as we say, that we're going to the better land, to eternal life with God. But what does this space look like in between? So this is very fitting that God would come and speak in these spaces. And that's exactly what He does here with Jeremiah and Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah himself is in this kind of in-between space. So we meet Jeremiah in this first chapter. We meet a young man. Think of our high school graduates this morning. Jeremiah's right about your age, 18, 19 years old, most likely. And he comes from a priestly family, maybe even a famous priestly family. We don't know for sure, but it sounds like perhaps one of the more famous priestly lines. You can imagine Jeremiah has in mind what his life is going to look like. He's going to start doing the priestly work, and this is what it's going to look like. This is what he'll do. But now God comes to him and says, this is my plan for you. This is my calling. And as he receives that word, however he receives it, and is coming to grips with it, you can imagine he's in a very transitional kind of space. He's in between, and he's wondering, as I'm leaving what I thought was going to be my life and going to something else, what's that going to look like? And God speaks to him at the outset of that. And through Jeremiah, I believe, is speaking to us through the Holy Spirit today to have us hear his word to us as we live our lives to follow him. So we want to hear, what is God saying to us in these transitional spaces, really any stage of our life that we need to hear, that we can receive, that will strengthen us as we follow him? So let's receive the word of the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 1 and begin reading here at verse 4 through verse 10. Jeremiah writes, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to, and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." We're so thankful for the Lord's word to us this morning that we can receive it again and reflect on it as his people. So as we think this morning about the word that God is speaking here to Jeremiah and the word that he's speaking to us, again, we have to note, as we've been throughout these last several weeks, that the context in which this comes, Jeremiah is being called by the Lord for a specific purpose, right, to be a prophet to the nations. But as we noted a few weeks ago already, prophets aren't the only ones who are called by God. Right, so as we read this text, we might think, of course, Jeremiah is called and receives a calling. He has a very important work to do. He's a prophet of the Lord. And in our context today, we might think, of course, pastors or missionaries or chaplains, they're called. They need to be called by the Lord for those important tasks. And we talk about that a lot in ministry. I know when I went to seminary, we talk about you have to be called, and that not only has to be an internal call, something you sense, but has to be verified externally by the church that you've been called. And so we talk about that calling for those kinds of things. But as we've noted the last few weeks, all of us are called by the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're in official ministry capacity or whatever it might be that God calls you to. When you believe in Jesus Christ, when you're one of his followers, you are called by God, not just to salvation, but to live a life following him. 2 Peter chapter 1, as Peter's beginning that letter, reminds the people of this. Not only have you been called by the Lord, but you've been called and are enriched, empowered in every way to live a godly life that he's called you to. Right? We're all called to follow the Lord and to think about what he's leading us to in our lives. Now, Jeremiah's calling here, we're told he receives a word from the Lord. We don't know exactly what that looked like. I think if you're like me, you picture kind of this voice from heaven, Jeremiah, Jeremiah, that sort of thing. We don't know for sure if that was the case or if it was something a little different. Jeremiah just came to learn and to see, this is what the Lord's calling me to. And so often in our lives, God works in a multitude of ways to speak his calling to us. Maybe it's through time in Scripture. Maybe it comes through prayer that we realize God's saying, I need to do this today. Sometimes it comes through experiences we have, just things that happen in life. Sometimes it's opportunities that suddenly come up before us that we see God's leading. It could come from conversations, of course, with others, a whole myriad of ways. But God is speaking to us. He's calling to us, as we just heard in the song. He's leading us in our lives, leading us to his purposes for us. So at the outset here, I just want to ask again, as we've been asking throughout this series, what is God calling you and I to? And again, remember, this, it doesn't have to be some extraordinary thing. It doesn't mean we might have to go across the world or be a prophet to the nations like Jeremiah. It might be something just for today, just for this season, just something that's right in front of you that you're called to live faithfully into. But it's important for us to be listening to the Lord, listening to His Spirit as Jeremiah was. What is the Lord calling us to? And as we come to grips with that, as we sense the Lord's calling, He's going to lead us into these in-between kind of spaces. When we follow the Lord in faith, and we follow His calling, when we sense that calling, it often leads to some discomfort. And we see Jeremiah in the midst of that here in chapter 1. And really, if you go through the whole book of Jeremiah, throughout his ministry, he's going to have these moments with the Lord where he's kind of wrestling and wondering, and he has these kind of doubts. You can hear it here in the verses. He says to him, you know, I can't speak well. How can I be a prophet? I can't speak well. I'm too immature. I'm too young. He's raising these doubts, these worries, these anxieties before the Lord in this space. I thought I was just going to be a priest. Now you're telling me I'm going to be a prophet to the nations? I think what Jeremiah goes through is very normal. And I want to say that these doubts that we have, or these anxieties, these tensions in these in-between spaces are normal feelings. They're just feelings that we have, and it's very normal in kind of an unknown space to have that kind of feeling. The problem comes is when we let those feelings dictate to us the decisions we're going to make, or they block out what God is saying to us, and how He's coming beside us in the midst of these things. But the doubts we have are normal. I think about all of us in the midst of our lives now. I think again of our graduates. It's normal. As you're thinking about, I'm going to go to college, or I'm going to go into the workforce, or I'm going to go to high school, that you would have some anxiety. What's that going to look like? Am I going to be able to make the grades? Am I going to be able to cut it at the job I'm going to? How am I going to be in that? It's normal if you're transitioning from a working life into retirement to wonder, what's that going to be like? What am I going to do? Am I going to be effective in my time? And how will I be? You might be parents here today whose children are graduating, maybe even the last one leaving the house, and you're wondering, what's that going to look like? We've had kids in the home for 30 years. Suddenly not. How are we going to be? How are we going to be together? What's that going to look like? You might be starting a new job and wondering how that will go. I've worked in this other one for so long. I know what that's like. This is new. How will I be? Will I be able to do it? We can go on and on, right? These different situations that come up in our lives and things we face. You know, we have elder and deacon nominations going right now. You might be one of the nominees and thinking, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I don't know if I could fill that role. This is all quite normal, the things that we'd experience in these kind of spaces. But again, the reminder here, even as we see Jeremiah, is we can't let those feelings, those very normal feelings, dictate to us. We need to hear the word of the Lord. We need to hear His word to us in the midst of those spaces as He seeks to calm our fears, to lead us forward, to follow in His ways and the callings He has for us. And so that's what we want to hear this morning as Jeremiah heard. And that's really where we want to spend the rest of our time, hearing God's word to us. As He speaks it through Jeremiah, what is He saying to us that he needed to hear, that we needed to hear as well? So let's think about what God says in response to Jeremiah. Just want to highlight four things this morning, and I think they're things that God repeats over and over throughout Scripture. Because as human beings, we're not so different, even through the generations. We need to hear these words of the Lord. But first and foremost, God communicates to Jeremiah and to us that He has a plan for us, that He has purpose for us. You heard it in verse 5. God says to Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I've appointed you for this purpose, to be a prophet to the nations. I've set you apart. God knows Jeremiah. He's created Jeremiah. He knows exactly how he's wired, and he has a purpose for Jeremiah. In fact, in verse 10, we hear God gets into more of the specifics. You're going to go to the nations, and you're going to have a ministry that will tear down and build up. God knows exactly what he has in store for Jeremiah. And as we hear this word today, the word is true not just for Jeremiah, but for you and for me. That God knows you. He's known you from all eternity. Before you were even in your mother's womb, God has known you. He knows how you're wired because he's made you. And God doesn't make mistakes. He has purpose for each of his children. He had a purpose for Jeremiah, very specific purpose. But just because you or I might not be prophets to the nations doesn't mean God doesn't have a purpose for you and for me. God has made you in a special way, in a very particular way. He has a purpose for you. He knows the details of that. He has it laid out. And as we think about that this morning, as we think about ourselves in the midst of these transitions at times and the anxiety that comes with it, this word is meant to comfort us. It's meant to say to us, yes, we don't know what the future often will look like. We don't know exactly what the plan will be or how this is going to turn out, but God does. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And as we know him in Jesus Christ, we know that it's good. And so even though we don't know exactly what things will look like, we can take comfort in knowing that God does. And he sees us. And he knows us. And he is the one leading us to these things he called us to. So God has a plan and a purpose for you and for me, as he did for Jeremiah. Secondly, God communicates his presence that goes with us. It says that in verse 7. Don't be afraid, Jeremiah. I am with you. I am with you. And we hear those connections there in verse 7. God's presence takes away fear. God's presence is a fear breaker. It's a fear breaker. You know the words most likely of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? What does that word say? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Right? God's presence is a fear breaker. It's a fear breaker. And there's a reason. So often in Scripture, when God comes to his people, he says, don't be afraid. He knows how we are. He knows as we enter into these kind of spaces, as we hear his callings, we get anxious. We feel the tension rise. We get a little nervous. And it's no surprise that especially in particular points of these in-between spaces, God comes and says this very thing, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Think with me of Joshua, just been inaugurated as the new leader of Israel. They're leaving the wilderness and going to the promised land. They're literally in between. And God comes to him and says, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Think with me of Solomon, just taking over for his father David, this incredible king, and he's been called to build the temple. And on that threshold, in that in-between space, God comes to him and says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Go about the work of building the temple. You can think about it with another prophet, a little bit after Jeremiah, the prophet Haggai, who was called to with the people to call them to rebuild the temple as they return to the land. And God communicates to them in that very in-between kind of space, don't be afraid, I'm with you, go about the work, go about what I've called you to. God's presence goes with us, his people. Of course, Jesus, as we think about his ascension today, as he's about to ascend to heaven, he says to his disciples, says to all of us, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God's presence is a fear breaker, and he would change our perspective and from just seeing these fears and these anxieties to seeing his presence with us and his calling for us and how he would go with us. It's again meant to help us take a breath and say, as I look in the mirror, I don't know how in the world anything is possible going forward, how I'm going to be able to do any of these things. But if the Lord goes with us, suddenly anything is possible. Anything is possible because God is with us. So God communicates his presence to us as he did to Jeremiah, that he goes with us in all these callings. Thirdly, God speaks his promise over us and to us. He says to Jeremiah, not only am I with you, but I will rescue you, I will deliver you, I will save you. It's an incredible promise that God speaks to Jeremiah here. Now, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy in life because God says, I'm going to deliver you. If you've read through Jeremiah, you know that his life will not always be easy. There'll be plenty of downs and tough spots that he will be in because he's following this calling of the Lord. And it's true in our lives as well. As we live in this in-between space, as we anticipate the life abundant that God would give to us, there's lots of challenges that you and I face in life, lots of struggles that we go through. God's not promising that here. But what he is promising is that he will lead us through all of them, that no final, lasting harm will come to us, that he will lead us safely through, that he will deliver us ultimately to eternal life, life abundant forever with him. And then again, his presence goes with us every step of that way. Again, you think of Psalm 23 and the very end of that song, "Surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That kind of hope, that kind of perspective, God would give to Jeremiah and God would give to you and I today. And as Jeremiah would hear that word, he no doubt with the people would recall all the ways that God's delivered, and they've seen that. God's delivered this way. He brought us out of Egypt. He provided in the wilderness. He brought us into the promised land. He gave victory. And so this word is even the more believable because of that. We've seen all of this deliverance. So for you and I today, we of course look and see Jesus. So we hear this word of the Lord saying, "I will deliver you, I will rescue you." We know he has already done so in Jesus Christ. That he has come down from heaven himself in his Son. He's taken on our flesh. He's gone through these kind of spaces we find ourselves in. He's lived in it. He knows what it's like. He's lived without sin, and yet he's gone to the cross for you and for me to forgive us for all of our struggles and our brokenness and our sin, to redeem us, to heal us. And he's defeated all these things in his resurrection. And we know as we celebrate this day that he's at the Father's right hand, reigning over all of it, pouring out his Spirit, that we might follow him, that we might hear this word, his promise that he delivers us. He'll rescue, he'll save, he'll see us safely through. So we hear that word as well. God has a plan for us, his presence goes with us, his promise is before us. And then lastly, too, that God will provide for us. He provides for us. He equips us for his callings. You see it in these verses as Jeremiah says, "Lord, I can't speak, I'm too young." The Lord says, "You need to go where I tell you to go and say what I tell you to say." But then he touches Jeremiah's mouth. He touches his mouth and says, "My word will be in you." He equips Jeremiah for this calling that he's received. Because God doesn't just call us to things and leave us on our own. He provides for us as we follow him faithfully. He provides for us day after day what we need for following in these callings. And again, we can see that in the history of God's people. No doubt you can see it in your own lives, how God has equipped you as he's called you to something, how he's provided for you as we follow faithfully that leading he's called us to. God is the great provider. He provides for us. He equips us where he's called. As I think about my own life and think about the various things that I've seen God calling me to and leading me in, as I really look back and reflect, it's amazing to think about the ways that God has provided. Sometimes it is words to speak. Sometimes it's just strength to endure something. Sometimes it's just the way to come alongside someone else. Sometimes it's the person coming alongside me who says the right word at the right time in the right way. Sometimes it's leading me to a portion of Scripture that I need to read. But God is always providing, always equipping, as we're listening to him and seeking to follow him faithfully in our lives. And I have no doubt that as you do so in your life, God will provide for you. He'll equip you. He'll give you what you need. Even when we look at the situation and say, "How am I going to get there?" If you're a graduate today and say, "I don't know how I'm going to do this work in college," or, "I don't know how I'm going to do the work of the job. I feel so young. I feel so inadequate," like Jeremiah here. God promises he'll provide for you. If you're sitting on some other threshold and you're wondering, "How am I going to enter into this new relationship, maybe a marriage that's forthcoming, or about to have a child, and I don't know what that's going to look like, or I'm heading toward retirement, or I'm at the end of my life, and I'm facing this ultimate transition of death. How is it going to be?" And God says, "I will provide for you everything you need in all of these situations so that you can follow me and give testimony to my name." So friends, this day I want us to hear, and I want myself to hear, God's word to us as he spoke it to Jeremiah many years ago. His word that he has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. That his presence goes with us as we follow him in this life. That his promise is overseeing all of us, that he delivers us in Jesus Christ, and that he will provide for us every step of the way. We need to keep hearing that word again and again, because we're always in these kind of spaces where doubts can creep in, where the enemy would distract us from God's word. And as we hear it today, God just wants us to believe in him, to believe in the word he speaks to us. And of course, ultimately to believe in the word became flesh, Jesus Christ, his son, who has delivered us, who makes all these things possible, who, as Paul writes, makes all the promises of God yes. We're here in chapter 1 of Jeremiah. There's 52 chapters in this book. Jeremiah responds faithfully. Even though he has some doubts and anxieties, he responds faithfully. He believes the Lord's word. He follows him. And yes, there's going to be lots of ups and downs. But the Lord will prove faithful at every single turn. So as the Lord speaks to you, as he speaks to me today, he's calling for us to believe, to come into his arms, to know his grace, to know that he has a plan for us, that he himself goes with us, that he himself is promising our deliverance, and that he'll provide for us every step of the way. So no matter what God is calling you to in this season, no matter what transition you might be going through, hear the word of the Lord, that he's speaking to you, that he's speaking to me, that he's speaking to us, his children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. Father, we thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for your word made flesh, your Son, Jesus Christ, which speaks the greatest word. And Lord, as we maybe have some doubts this day about what's forthcoming in our lives, individually or collectively, Lord, speak your word to us that we might hear and believe. Help us to see Jesus and know how far you've gone for us, and to trust in you, to rest in you, to not lean on our own understanding, but Lord, to lean on you and see the path that you would make straight before us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the many things you give to us. And we praise you, for you alone are worthy of all our praise. Lord, take our lives. They are in your hands.